Fantasy meets reality to create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy Football Friday here inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and on MixLR.com/WakeUpCallDT. You just heard from the Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. They proudly bring you this hour of the show, Fantasy Football Friday. They bring you football every single weekend, every game, DirecTV. Got to go out to Saltine Warrior and check out every game, plus the NBA, NBA, NHL, MLB, everything, NCAA. When it comes to being in a place where you could submerge yourself in the world of sports, submerge yourself in the community of Central New York, get a drink, get something to eat, don't break your bank account, sit in these deep booths that can fit like 8 to 10 people, which you can't find anywhere else, this truly is the venue to be at. And I'm so happy to be pre-gaming Syracuse men's basketball coming up very shortly here at Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, and we pregame Syracuse football there, Rob Drummond and I. And Rob Drummond and I have some more to do as well, so look forward to our specials coming up. And I just want to thank Saltine Warrior for all that they do. And when you're ice skating and looking at the tree in Clinton Square, you can go right over to Saltine and get some free hot chocolate on a cool day or on a nice day. So make sure you go out there, day like today where it's a little bit cool outside, sun's shining. Go get yourself some free hot chocolate at Saltine Warrior and have yourself a phenomenal day going into your weekend. Here in Fantasy Football Friday, proudly brought to you by Saltine Warrior on 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. From Central New York to Central Florida, Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora, are here to talk with you about all things NFL and to get you ready for this fantasy football weekend coming up in, hard to believe it, week 13. Mike, how you doing today?
Great, how are you?
Good. Can you believe that we're sitting here at week 13 already? I always feel like it creeps up way too quickly.
Yeah, well, when you're doing something fun, it flies by. When you're doing something tedious or laborious, the clock never moves. So true. That's what fantasy football is. Before you know it, it's over with. So you better stay on the right path all season long.
Absolutely. And we have done our best to guide you on the right path this season. And I've had a lot of news come through here and a lot of suggestions that have worked out for fantasy owners across the country, whether you're playing and across the world, whether you're playing daily fantasy or you're in a fantasy football league. I feel very good about what we've told you, and we've reaped the benefits of it because Mike and I have a lot of these players that we discuss with you. So Mike, first and foremost, we got to go to the game that was last night, Thursday Night Football, Cowboys and the Vikings. What did you take away from this one? And that's how we'll kind of get this week started, is a look back at Thursday, as we always do. I felt like going into it, it was the Cowboys' game to lose, and they did not. They have won 11 games in a row and arguably should have won all 12. So what was your takeaway?
Well, it shows that Dallas is a good team all the way around. I mean, Zeke Elliott didn't have one of his 100-yard performances. He came close, 86 yards. He did catch the ball a couple times, but his total yardage over 100. Dak Prescott didn't break 200 yards. But then again, the team itself was pretty well balanced. They had some struggles, especially early in the game. And late in the game, you had to doubt Dallas and think that Minnesota could actually pull this one out without a head coach, without some of their premium players. You know, it looked like this could actually happen, but they came up just short. So Minnesota put forth a galleon effort, but Dallas is just a solid team all the way up and down.
Yeah, you know, Dallas is a very, very strong team this year. And, you know, for the last year and the year before and whatnot, when you hear that, you know, Vegas is picking the Cowboys and the Patriots and yada, 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 I mean, more often than not, we never see it come to fruition. We haven't seen it in a long time with the Dallas Cowboys come to fruition. But I think this year we could see them go very deep in the playoffs, and we could see them make it to the Super Bowl. This was a hard-fought game that wasn't all crazy offense. This is the Dallas Cowboys outlasting the Minnesota Vikings, scoring 10 points in the fourth quarter to Minnesota's 9. And if Dallas did not score those 10 points in the fourth quarter, we're looking at a 15-7 victory for the Minnesota Vikings. So shout out to Dallas for closing out the game. Dak Prescott got a touchdown in the game. Obviously, moving forward, we are going to continue to tell you, I would say, to play Dak Prescott, to play Ezekiel Elliott, to play Dez Bryant. They all had a touchdown in this game. Cole Beasley, not a bad play as well. Very interesting. Dak Prescott only threw to four receivers in this game against the Vikings. And Stephon Diggs did okay. Kyle Rudolph had some good moments. The running game is still nowhere. 41 yards for McKinnon, 30 yards for Asiata, and Sam Bradford is still, you know, that okay quarterback that can do some things at some points, but not the guy that you want to have on your fantasy football team. Chiefs at the Falcons, what can you say about this one?
Well, this should be an interesting game. I would think that Atlanta might even walk away with this game looking at it on paper, but the Chiefs haven't been doing a bad job led by Spencer Ware. I think that that might be the telltale tape of this game. Spencer Ware's been doing a dynamic job since he got in there, but you can't argue with what Atlanta's been doing either. So highlighting the fantasy players, Matt Ryan's definitely a QB1. Devontae Freeman's going to be an RB2 just because Tevin Coleman's back and he's cutting into some of them touches. So Coleman's a decent flex player. And Julio Jones, of course, is an elite wide receiver. He's definitely a wide receiver one. On the other side of the ball, Alex Smith is a low-end QB2 in this one. Spencer Ware, we talked about, an elite running back one. And, you know, you got to go with Travis Kelce, of course, at the tight end position. Austin Hooper for Atlanta, maybe a low-end tight end, too. And I'll tell you what, this Tyreek Hill has been turning it on lately, too. So he's a low-end wide receiver, too, this week. He's super fast, one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, that's big. As far as injuries go for the Atlanta Falcons, nothing to really report here in this game. As far as the Chiefs go, Jeremy Maclin, who has underachieved as he continues to do over the past few seasons. He did it leaving Philadelphia, and he's done it at Kansas City. He has a groin injury. He's been questionable, and Chris Conley is questionable as well with an Achilles injury, both wide receivers for the team, but not guys that, you know, I'm putting out there week to week. And, yeah, I know Jeremy Maclin, he's got the name, but I look at what you've done for me lately, and he hasn't done much of anything, so I stay away from Jeremy Maclin and haven't really, outside of maybe 1 week this season, have really used him. Matt Ryan, you got to play him in this game. Devontae Freeman is a good play. Yes, Tevin Coleman is back, but when Tevin Coleman played this past week, he got a touchdown. Devontae got two. So, and Devontae's still targeted in the passing game. Taylor Gabriel's had himself a time. Two touchdowns most recently, so I like it. Julio Jones took a backseat to Taylor Gabriel, Justin Hardy, and Mohamed Sanu in the last game. Don't look for that to be how it's going to run this way around. But Kansas City's a pretty good defense. The Cardinals were a pretty good defense, too, and they were able to shut down Julio at moments. So Julio's going to have his day. I'm not going to sit here and tell you not to play him, but I will tell you to just understand that Taylor Gabriel is a good play out there and somebody you should consider to put out there for the Atlanta Falcons. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs go, Spencer Ware is the first name that always comes to mind for me. You just heard Mike mention him. And, you know, Spencer is a really, really strong player. He's been that all season long. So I like Spencer Ware in the game. Tyreek Hill is a guy that, you know, a couple weeks ago caught my eye, two. And, you know, so I'd stick with him. I like him in a flex position. And Travis Kelce is their best receiver. So those are my three for Kansas City that I really feel good about going into this matchup, because the Falcons don't play a ton of defense. They play enough, but not a ton. Lions at Saints. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, this should be an interesting game, but I would think it would be all New Orleans. New Orleans, you know, is a solid team. They've been coming on strong as of late. Breeze has been okay. But the thing that fascinates me about this is Stafford and company have a chance to really put up some stats. So regardless of who wins this game, this could be a good stat game for fantasy football. Just depends on who you have. Drew Brees is the number one overall quarterback this week, in my opinion. I think the defense for Detroit, the secondary, is kind of on the weak side. But, you know, they're going to hand the ball off, and they're going to hand it off to Ingram primarily. But Hightower's not a bad play either. I got Ingram as a low running back too, and I got Hightower is the same. But throwing the ball, this is where you're going to get your money, you know. But the thing is sometimes with New Orleans, you don't know which guy it's going to be. There's so many different options, and they spread the ball around so much. But I would think that Thomas would be the number one receiver. I would think that Cooks would be shortly there behind him. So Thomas, the wide receiver one this week, Cooks, the wide receiver two, and Snead, a wide receiver three, or flex play if you don't have a better running back option. Flipping the ball over, Matt Stafford's a QB one this week. I got him as a number six overall QB. Deal Reddick, he's dynamic in a way, catches the ball and runs the ball. They're a different offense when he's in there, so definitely Theo Reddick. He's a low-end running back one this week. And Golden Tate, who's been turning it up lately as Marvin Jones has all but disappeared. But I think this could be the game for Eric Ebron as well. He blanked last week, but Eric Ebron could turn it on against a relatively weak New Orleans defense. I got him as a tight end one this week.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, I do expect this to be offensively pleasing. And, you know, so Mike obviously spoke a lot about that, and I agree. You know, I think there's a lot to be had here fantasy-wise. Theo Riddick, ankle injury, still limited in Wednesday's practice, so just watch him as at the questionable mark. And then Marvin Jones, thigh, was a limited participant in Wednesday's practice as well, as far as New Orleans goes. And you can check out the entire injury report updated by going to wakeupcalldt.com and going to the fantasy football tab and clicking on the injury report, brought to you by Dr. Tim Whiting, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal chiropractor who has an overall knowledge of wellness and how to take care of your body in Central New York. You can call him at 315-472-7128, and he has the injury report every single week. So to check on kind of what we're looking at, New Orleans, really not too much to say. Mark Ingram's toe, he missed Thursday practice with that, so just watch his toe for that. Watch where he's going to be at. I know it sounds like a little minor injury, but you got to run on him all the time, so you can't underestimate that. Matt Stafford in the game, I put him out there. Theo Riddick, as long as he's healthy and good to go, I put him in there. Dwayne Washington, for this week, for whatever reason, I feel good about him. So maybe a flex position for you or a handcuff to Theo. Anquan Boldin, I like Anquan. And Eric Ebron is not a bad play as well at tight end. As far as the Saints go, Drew Brees, Mark Ingram if he's good to go. Tim Hightower, I still like him, even though this is the thing. Hightower had 15 carries in the last game, which was against the Rams, and Ingram had 14. So they're literally splitting carries in every sense of the equation. So make sure that you, I would put them both out there if you got them, and you very well could have them both because Hightower kind of flew under the radar, but play them. Michael Thomas has just been a fantasy stud. He's been a shining light for people, so I really do like him in this game. I like Kobe Fleener, and, you know, there's Willie Snead, there's Josh Hill, there's still opportunities outside of, you know, the typicals that we've given you. The Michael Thomas, who's really stepped up, and Kobe Fleener. Outside of that, Josh Hill and Willie Snead are not bad plays as well. Ingram and Hightower are both catching the ball out of the backfield. So you're really in good shape no matter how you slice it. This is going to be a good game offensively. I think we're going to see a lot of scoring in this one. In the next game in Fantasy Football Friday, proudly brought to you inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, every Friday show live from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time, and it is brought to you by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, your fantasy headquarters in Central New York and your headquarters to watch all things sports and to just hang out with the family, friends, coworkers, and be in downtown Syracuse and really get the most of it. Saltine Warrior, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. Rams at Patriots. The Rams have been a mostly atrocious team this year, and they're playing a team that is ferocious. So atrocious versus ferocious. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, the most interesting thing to me about this game is the fact that Gronk is out. And Gronk has been up and down all year. When he's been fully healthy, or what we assume is fully healthy, he's been unstoppable. But then there's been games where he's been struggling to come back from injury or got injured early in the game, and that was it. He was done. And now it looks like he might even be done for the season. They say several weeks, but, you know, we're in week 13. We're in week, 13 here. This is a short time here. So several weeks, you might as well say he's done. Bennett, Martellus Bennett, could pick up the slack mighty nicely, and he's done so in the past, but not consistently. So you may look elsewhere for some help at tight end, but in this game, it should be all Patriots. The Rams have been nothing but a dumpster fire as of late. You definitely got to play Brady. He's an elite QB. He's arguably an MVP this year. He's just been so good, even missing those games. LeGarrette Blount is solid. He's definitely a running back one. Even though Deion Lewis is back, even though they still have James White, even though they like to throw the ball to the likes of Edelman and Amendola and the tight end, whoever's in there. But he's definitely a guy that you want to have on the field. Edelman is a great wide receiver two for you this week. And on the other side of the ball, I don't have much to say. If you have some desperation plays, maybe you're in a multi-quarterback league. Jared Goff, I got him ranked number 29, but, you know, there's only, you know, 30 teams playing this week. So what does that tell you? Todd Gurley, he's been having trouble getting it going. So, you know, again, Todd Gurley, I got him ranked number 23 this week. And Kenny Britt, who's, you know, come out of nowhere to become the number one receiver there. It was thought that, you know, Tavon Austin would be the guy, but Kenny Britt's emerged as the receiver there. So he's a number 25 receiver this week. So he's like a low-end wide receiver two, high-end wide receiver three, desperate flex.
I like that. I like that term, desperate flex. Rams at the Patriots for this game. On my side of it, just going down the injury here, Tom Brady officially limited at practice Thursday, and they don't say why because they never do. Julian Edelman, wide receiver, foot and personal reasons. Return to practice on Thursday. Martellus Bennett, ankle and shoulder. He was back in practice. Gronk is out for several weeks, like Mike said. Well, we're in week 13. So does that mean he'll be back 16, 7? I mean, I would say they'll probably find a way to get him back for week 17, if not the playoffs. Chris Hogan back was limited to practice on Wednesday, so just watch those injuries. But the Patriots typically have the longest injury sheet of all 32 teams, and 99% of the time, everybody plays. Unless they're out like Gronk, everybody's, you know, going to go out there and play for the most part. As far as the LA Rams go, really quick, Tavon Austin absent from Wednesday's practice due to a chest injury. So that's just one thing to note. He's been absent from fantasy football for a long time, so that's another thing to note. The Patriots, Tom Brady, I would play him. LeGarrette Blount, play him as well in this game. Deion Lewis, maybe as a low-end running back three just because they're playing the Rams. Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, if he's good to go. Malcolm Mitchell, man's been a stud lately. And Martellus Bennett, as long as he's good to go, he's had his day in the sun. And when Gronk gets hurt and Gronk is out, he usually can step up to the plate. So I look forward to seeing what Martellus Bennett can do. Unless he's playing against me, then I don't. And then as far as the Rams go, Jared Goff, you know, he's playing the Patriots, so it's going to be a learning curve. It might be a tough day for the guy. Todd Gurley, I have him as a running back three, high-end, I guess, you know, a flex type of player. I just don't trust him anymore to tell you that he's your running back one or two. He's definitely not your one. I don't even like him as your two. Kenny Britt's had himself a year. He stayed healthy. God bless him. I hope he continues to. At wide receiver for the Rams, Lance Kendricks has had a pretty good season as well. So I would look to play the both of them because somebody's got to catch the ball. And Goff has been slinging it relatively well. Broncos at Jaguars. I'll be on site at the game. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, this could be a surprise game. And if this does happen, remember you heard it here first, this could be a game the Jags could slip away with here. First of all, it's a road game for a West Coast team on the East Coast, which is no easy task. Now, I know they're not all the way in California. I know it's Colorado, but still coming somewhat West Coast to East Coast, playing a 1 o'clock game is hard to do. The challenge is that Jacksonville's just not very good. So you would think that would line up, and then you could take it a step further, whereas Simeon might not play. He's dinged up, and Paxton Lynch may get the start. Well, Simeon hasn't been playing that well lately anyway. The one thing that has been shining well is every other offensive position for Denver. So that could bode well. They got a guy, whether it's Simeon or Lynch, who can get in there and just manage the game. So if you have to play a Simeon, you know, you may want to watch the injury report toward the, you know, very just before kickoff, the game time decisions there. But if you have Booker, you're going to start him. He's a running back one. Demaryius Thomas is a wide receiver one. And Emmanuel Sanders is a wide receiver two. But Jacksonville's having struggles this week. We don't know who's going to run the ball. It might be Denard Robinson. T.J. Yeldon might be back. We just got to see who's cleared practice today on Friday. Allen Robinson, a low-end wide receiver three this week, and Blake Bortles is a low quarterback two this week. But at the same time, I have this feeling that this could be the game. If Jacksonville's going to upset somebody and Denver's going to lose, it looks like it's primed to happen, and it all starts at the quarterback position.
Yeah, you know, I think this is going to be a big game. And another point to be brought up is there was a Super Bowl won by this team called the Denver Broncos earlier this year. They had this guy in the defensive line called Malik Jackson. And Malik Jackson decided in the offseason to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was on the show this past Monday. He's a damn good player. He sacked Tyrod Taylor twice. And now he's going up against a potential rookie that he can get after. So I think, you know, that's another thing to watch when people want to focus on Von Miller of the Broncos against the pass protection of the Jaguars. I say, how about the Broncos offensive line and quarterback having to go up against their former teammate, Malik Jackson, who knows your moves and knows your tendencies and knows your strengths and weaknesses. So I like Malik in this one. And I do think that the Jaguars could come away with this. This is going to be one of those games. I agree with you, Mike. This is going to be one of those games where the Jaguars could come out of here with the win, and everybody's looking around going, the season that could have been. And I've been in that press box many a time where there's a victory, where people look around like and laugh, and just kind of that face where you're kind of dumbstruck and your mouth is open a little bit and you're looking around and you're going, this is the team? Where were they all year? And that's happened so many times. I think that's going to happen in this game. I think Malik Jackson's going to have a part in it. Alan Hearns, who I interviewed right after the Bills game in Buffalo for his hamstring, he was not present for Friday's practice. He told me he was hurting after the game. You can go back and listen to that interview. He said he was hurting. He said he was going to do his best to go, but that he was in pain. So that's a fantasy must watch. Chris Ivory's hamstring, he wasn't at Friday's practice. T.J. Yeldon has an ankle injury. Julius Thomas has a back injury, and he didn't play against the Buffalo Bills. So just there's a lot to watch for the Jaguars offense. As far as the Denver Broncos go, anything of note, obviously Trevor Siemian, sprained left foot, sidelined at Thursday's practice, so we could see Paxton Lynch out there. So that's definitely a big thing to watch. I would like to see Paxton Lynch, because I covered the Memphis Tigers, so I selfishly would like to see him and see, you know, what he can do. But the Jaguars defense, they got some hard hitters in Jalen Ramsey, Malik Jackson. Tyson Alualu has gotten better from the day when he got drafted, and Mel Kiper, who knows every player everywhere, they said, Mel, what's your, you know, nobody knows this guy, what's your thoughts on him? And I'll never forget Mel Kiper staring at the screen, saying absolutely nothing, and then just kind of popping into, oh, you know, he's pretty good. So Tyson Alualu has come into himself. Malik Jackson, there's Paul Posluszny, obviously. Paul Posluszny looks like he's wearing body armor that looks like human skin. I mean, that's how big this guy is. Doing an interview with him this past weekend, I realized face-to-face how giantly massive Paul Posluszny is. He looks like if a robot and a human had a baby. It was like Transformers kind of looking, and God bless him. He's worked very hard on himself, and I just, you know, Paul, when you retire, I need a bodyguard. So, you know, your people talk to my people. We'll exchange information and figure that all out. But, you know, this defense should not go understated, and I do think this Malik Jackson up against old team, Paxton Lynch, rookie quarterback, I think that makes for an eventful day. And if the Jaguars do come out with the win, it shouldn't be taken away from them because they're not playing Trevor Siemian, because let's face it, he's okay. He's not phenomenal. He did good against the Chiefs, but, you know, the team, he's okay. He's okay this year. He hasn't been consistently great. Devontae Booker, I would look at playing him out there. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, two good plays for the Denver Broncos. As far as the Jacksonville Jaguars go, I would consider playing their defense and special teams that had 5 sacks against the Bills this past week. Blake Bortles is a good play at home, in my opinion. And there's a lot of injuries. So, like I said, Chris Ivory, if his hamstring is good to go, he is worth the play. he was coming into himself finally against the Bills and went out in the first quarter, and it was very tough to see. Marquise Lee has definitely stood out, and if Hearns is not good to go, he stands out even more. Allen Robinson needs to step it up, so at best I think he's a flex guy for you in that Jaguars game. Once again, wake-up call on-site Broncos-Jaguars in Jacksonville this Sunday, so make sure you stay close to wakeupcalldt.com. Texans at Packers, what do you have for this one, Mike?
Well, this should be an interesting game, but unfortunately, for all the wrong reasons, I would think Green Bay would walk away with this game. But you got to look at Houston, even though they're missing one of their key defensive players, Houston's defense has been playing all right as well. But you can't argue with what Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing. He's an elite quarterback in the league, and I got him as the number two ranked quarterback this week. And Jordy Nelson is his primary target. Even though Jordy's had his ups and downs, I think he's on the way back here. I got him as a number five overall wide receiver this week. Devontae Adams is right behind him, though, as a low-end wide receiver two this week, ranked number 21 overall. James Starks, finally, they got a guy who can run the ball who's not a wide receiver. James Starks has been doing an okay job back, so you can count on him as a running back two this week. On Houston's side of the ball, their primary thing they got going is Lamar Miller. He's been dinged up a little bit as of late, but I think he's going to be a full go. He should be a running back two this week. DeAndre Hopkins, just by default, is the number one receiver there. He hasn't been performing like a number one receiver or like we're used to seeing from a DeAndre Hopkins, but there's some other things going on there. And the other thing I'm talking about is Brock Osweiler. Arguably, Brock Osweiler cashed in, hit the lottery in the free agent market leaving Denver this year. And, you know, maybe, you know, you look back and you think, wow, John Elway was pretty smart, because here's a guy that's getting paid a ton of money somewhere else and he's just not playing very well. You know, he's the number 26 quarterback on my board this week, so I would try not to play him if I didn't have to. The one shining spot on Houston's offense has been C.J. Fedorowicz. He's more or less, you can count on him for quite a few touches and a touchdown here or there, too. So this is the one guy who, if anybody's going to surprise you or shine, that might be the sneaky guy. And with Gronk being out and people looking for desperation pickups, surprisingly, C.J. Fedorowicz is out there in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, you know, C.J. Fedorowicz, I think it's because maybe people can't find him when they're searching, because they can't spell it right. But C.J. Fedorowicz is one of those guys out there. Houston Texans at the Packers. I picked him up a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he's been somewhat helpful for me. Here's the thing about paying a backup that's had 5 seconds out there on the field. You don't know what they're capable of because they've never been asked to lead a team themselves. Standing in for a game or two is a lot different than being the starter and the leader of the team. And Brock Osweiler, I wasn't sold on him, and I said, you know, be very wary, Houston, that you might have paid a lot of money for a guy who maybe hasn't shown you enough to put him in that role outright. They put him in there. They gave him the opportunity. And the way it stands right now, most recent game, the Texans, 3 interceptions, no touchdowns from Brock Osweiler. He's not a play. He did get a touchdown on the ground, but he is not a play. Lamar Miller, he's worth considering in this game. And just to go along the line here, injury-wise, really quick, Lamar Miller, ankle and ribs, he was limited at practice. Alfred Blue returned to a limited practice for himself with a calf injury. He's questionable. Shoulder injury has left C.J. Fedorowicz questionable. Jalen Strong is out, but he hasn't done anything this season, so not much there. But you got to watch the two running backs, and obviously Lamar Miller is the one that you really got to key in on and see what he's going to be doing here, if he's going to be healthy enough to go. Aaron Rodgers, hamstring practice in a limited capacity on Thursday. He's questionable in the game, and he's been questionable for most of the season. Last year he did it. He had a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks in, had a really, really bad game, and then played well, and then had another bad game. Just had these moments during the season, one in the beginning, and then one toward the end where he just didn't look like himself. This year he's had a lot more of those, which is why Mike said this is going to be an interesting game for all the wrong reasons. So Lamar Miller, I would play him in this if he's healthy and good to go. I'd play DeAndre Hopkins. I'd play Will Fuller the fifth. I'd consider C.J. Fedorowicz if he's healthy enough to go. Aaron Rodgers, you got to watch him in this. I don't think he's going to have a phenomenal game. I think Aaron Rodgers might have 2 touchdowns in this game. So do with that what you must. I am not a fan of the fact that Ty Montgomery isn't being utilized that much, so you can't play him. Devontae Adams, I said it like 7 weeks ago. If you've been listening to me, you've had a really good run. Devontae Adams, 2 touchdowns most recently. Play him. He's emerged in multiple games as the leading receiver for the Packers. Jordy Nelson is also another guy to look at in this game, and potentially Randall Cobb because they're playing the Texans. So I like the receivers. I teeter on Aaron Rodgers as far as Green Bay goes. I don't like the running game for Green Bay. And for Houston, I like Lamar Miller, Hopkins, Fuller the fifth, maybe Fedorowicz. I'm not going to sit here and tell you to play Brock Osweiler because it's a headache and a half. And if I'm telling you to play Brock Osweiler, I was probably one of those people that told you that Jamarcus Russell was a good number one pick. And because I've never done that in my life, it's safe to say that I'll never tell you, as of right now, that Brock Osweiler is a starter in fantasy football. Eagles at the Bengals. What do you got for this one?
Well, this is an interesting game because, well, Cincinnati is just banged up, up and down. Bernard's out for the year, of course, A.J. Green. They got one real good receiver, and he's a tight end, and that's Tyler Eifert. So if you have Tyler Eifert, that's definitely a guy you want to start. He's an elite tight end this week. Hill is going to be a top running back. He's definitely an RB1 just by default. He is a hard runner, though, and they are going to throw him the ball still. Andy Dalton's been struggling as of late. I got him as the number 21 quarterback. He may throw the ball to Tyler Boyd, but Tyler Boyd hasn't stepped up in the absence of A.J. Green like everybody thought he would, which goes to show he's not a true wide receiver one. He's a complementary role player, but he's still a young player. He could develop into that wide receiver one, but it just goes to show you that there's certain guys that are cut out to be one, certain guys that are cut out to be twos or complementary players. On the other side of the ball, Philadelphia statistically doesn't play defense well on the road, and that could bode well for Cincinnati. Philadelphia plays defense at home and usually wins at home outside of last week. Philadelphia is 1-5 away, so I don't look for a big, strong game by Philadelphia. If you're looking for some players, Smallwood, Sproles, those guys are all flex play guys. Jordan Matthews, maybe a flex play or wide receiver 3. And Carson Wentz has been in trouble lately. I think the speed of the game has caught up with him. I think they figured out Carson Wentz in his early season success. So he's in the same level as Brock Osweiler right now.
Yeah, you know, Carson Wentz started off the season and everybody was like, oh, Dak's playing catch-up. That changed dramatically quickly. The Philadelphia Eagles are 5-6. The Cowboys are 11-1. Dak Prescott has been very, very strong. And as far as I've seen, humble to the game, which I think is a great thing. So for this game, which is the game of the uglies, you know, I guess I could say this on my show. I could say whatever I want. It's bumping uglies. Can we say that, Mike? We can say that. The Eagles and the Bengals are bumping uglies. That's what they're doing this week. Eagles at the Bengals. So gross. It's just a gross fantasy game. I don't like Carson Wentz in this game. It's funny. It's like, because Wentz was compared by Mike to Brock Osweiler, and this is the funny thing about it. Brock Osweiler didn't throw a touchdown last week, but he ran one in. Carson Wentz did the same thing. So I just find that kind of ironic. Wendell Smallwood, running back 3, flex opportunity. Dorial Green Beckham. Almost ran away my mouth with that one. Dorial Green Beckham, not a bad flex for you because he spent a couple weeks on the top for the Eagles. But he's the best player on a subpar receiving core, so there is many others to put before him. But if you're scrounging the wide receiver wire and you need somebody, maybe he's the guy to put in your flex position. I really don't. Besides those guys, I don't have anything else to say about Philadelphia. I'm not a fan of their offense. As far as Cincinnati goes, Andy Dalton's got to throw to someone. Lord Jesus knows who it's going to be. I'm not a big fan of Andy Dalton in this game. Jeremy Hill has let me down more times than I can count, and I'm really pissed off at my automatic picker that I tried to get to my thing in time, and it chose for me, and it picked me Jeremy Hill. It's the only league that I have Jeremy Hill was when I did not draft him myself. There's many a reason because of that. Go back and listen to any one of our fantasy football shows, and you'll hear my thoughts. So Cincinnati, Tyler Eifert, yes. Tyler Boyd as a good flex, a true flex. But I really don't like this fantasy game. I mean, besides Tyler Boyd and Tyler Eifert, And then on the other side, maybe Doriel Green, Beckham, and maybe Wendell Smallwood. I really don't like this game offensively. It's bumping uglies, Mike. We are bumping uglies with this game. I don't like it. Dolphins at the Ravens. Speaking of bumping uglies, but two teams that look pretty. Somebody fell asleep and woke up, and the Dolphins were 7-4, darn it. And the Ravens are 6-5. This is a good AFC game in week 13. Who would have thunk it? What do you think about this one?
Yeah, well, surprisingly, it should be an okay game in my eyes. I think it should be all Miami just as well. I mean, yes, I get they're going to be in Baltimore. Yes, I get that Baltimore plays pretty well at home and the Dolphins don't play as well on the road. But you can't argue what the offensive line has done in the past several weeks anyway. You know, last week, not so much. But Jay Ajayi has really been able to light it up, so he's definitely a running back one. Jarvis Landry is their premium wide receiver. This week, he's a low-end wide receiver, too. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill, lately, I don't know what's going on, but he's been up and down, inconsistent. Last week didn't look so good. I think Tannehill might be in that same class this week, unfortunately, as the Wentz and Osweiler. So I'm not sure I would rely on him this week. Joe Flacco's had his struggles on the other side of the ball here. And the running back situation for Baltimore's in flux here. If you look, Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon are relatively ranked the same, so they're actually a true committee situation going on there. So that could be treacherous if you just have one or not the other. You probably have West and not Dixon, but if you're looking for somebody to fill in and maybe help you through the playoffs, Dixon may be that guy who can come on and be a strong flex for you down the road. Mike Wallace has been that breakaway guy. He's been that big home run hitter for Baltimore, so I would lean toward him if I had a starter receiver there, but he would be a wide receiver 3 at best, so not a lot. You know, the thing I like most is Jay Ajayi in this game, but still should be a good game.
Yeah, you know, I think that this game is going to be close. I think this could be a 19-14 game. I think it could be a 19-17 game. I think it's one of those types of games where you're like, okay, a couple guys are going to have their day. One or two guys, maybe three, are going to have a good day. So who do I go with? Well, if you're going for Miami, you go with Jay Ajayi. He's been able to score. He's been able to run well. And, you know, since he came on weeks ago and got into a class of very few when he had back-to-back 200-yard rushing games, I mean, this is somebody that you play every week now. Kenny Stills, I like him. Devontae Parker, he's been relatively garbage, but he's had his moments. Deion Sims has been okay. But Jarvis Landry, and how about this? Leonte Carew, like Ray Carew, he had a touchdown last week. So Miami, you never know what's going to happen. But Landry, flex, wide receiver 2 or 3. Kenny Stills, I like him as one of your receivers. I like Jay Ajayi as one of your starting running backs for sure. And Devontae Parker, I do want to make a note about. There's really no injuries in Baltimore to be concerned of. Lorenzo Taliaferro, not of concern to you. Crockett Gilmore got injured last year and this year, not a big fantasy player. Devontae Parker has a back injury. He missed practice again on Thursday, and he's been missing most of the fantasy football season. So I wouldn't put him out there either way. Kenneth Dixon and Terrence West, it is a toss-up. You know, as Mike said, if you put them together last week, they got you 97 yards rushing. And if you put them together in total, they got you 97 yards rushing, plus they got you up to 128 if you add in Kenneth Dixon, then another 16. So if you handcuff these guys, 144 yards of total offense in a 19-14 ugly fantasy game for the Ravens win over the Cincinnati Bengals. So if you have them both, which very well you could have because nobody knew who Kenneth Dixon was after the first few weeks and he was out injured. So, you know, I'm not against these guys this week. They're playing the Dolphins, so I'm not against throwing Dixon or West in there as a flex position player. I do like Mike Wallace. He's playing his old team. And maybe Steve Smith Sr., maybe, as a flex or a very low-end wide receiver too if you're in a deep league is how I see this one. And next up, we have the Niners. I don't even want to read this one to you, Mike. We have the 49ers at the Bears. Featuring, this should be the toilet bowl. This is featuring two terrible offenses, one that has really good players and just can't figure it out in Chicago, and San Francisco, who didn't put their roster together in time when the season started to actually know what they were doing. So the San Francisco 49ers were on auto pick if you auto pick in reverse order as far as their roster looks. What do you think about this game? Dare I ask you who you would put out there for the Niners at the Bears?
Well, surprisingly, there are a few shining spots on both of these rosters, but primarily, you're absolutely correct. This is going to be, you know, a horrible game. But a lot of times from these horrible games, good things are surprisingly impressive things or good fantasy things sometimes happen. And political stances aside or how anybody feels, Colin Kaepernick's been playing very well as of late. This is a guy who's definitely a QB1. He was on a waiver wire just a couple weeks ago in most leagues. So if you're able to snatch him up and you need a quarterback, this is definitely a guy to play in this game. Carlos Hyde is running back 2 this week. If you go on the other side of the ball, Jordan Howard's their one shining, you know, thing there. He's the best thing they have going, and that's a shame because this is a team that looked like it could have done something. But you know, I'm definitely not a fan of Chicago or what they've done position wise. Alshon Jeffrey's still out. I don't know who either one of these teams is going to throw the ball to. That's the big problem. Because I know the NFL is a running league, but you have to throw the ball as well, and you're going to be put in positions where you have to throw the ball. And I just don't know who's going to be catching the ball for either team.
That's a very good point. I see that point, and I raise you that Chicago, and I said it last week, you can just cut and paste. Matt Barkley didn't have a bad day. Let me just say that. Tennessee Titans are a pretty darn good 6-6 team. Matt Barkley threw 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Not a bad day, but I like Jordan Howard, and that's pretty much it. I like Jordan Howard for the Chicago Bears. That's all I have to say. For San Francisco, dare I say this, should we have a moment? Do we have a dun-dun-dun? I don't know. Maybe something like that. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it, Mike. This week, I would play Colin Kaepernick. First time I've said it all year. It's the first time I've said to play a San Francisco quarterback all year long, 12 weeks. We went 12 weeks in a streak together. We had a moment, and now that streak is over. They're playing Chicago. You what?
Mark the tape.
You got to mark the tape right now. I'm going to mark it right now. It's old school tape, Mike. I'm going to mark it. I'm going to mark it, and I'm going to cut it right after. But
all right.
Colin Kaepernick, 3 touchdowns to 1 interception against the Dolphins. Not a bad team this year. Colin Kaepernick, 113 yards rushing. He took it away from Carlos Hyde. Darn it. So, dare I say, Jordan Howard versus Carlos Hyde, like it. And play Colin Kaepernick this week. And Lord Jesus, help my soul. I finally said it. It finally came out of my mouth. But I will never say to ever have Johnny Manziel on your team. So you can mark the tape on that. I will never change my I will probably never change my status on that. I never have, but I can't say never ever because, you know, maybe Johnny Manziel finds Jesus and everything gets better. But Jamarcus Russell, Johnny Manziel, I've never wavered on them. Colin Kaepernick, fro and all, let's get it. I'm going to play him this week. I'm going to put him out there. Bills at the Raiders. What do you think about this one, Mike?
Well, this is going to be an interesting game, and we just talked about the lack of wide receivers. Buffalo's having that same struggle right now. Robert Woods didn't practice today. Percy Harvin, who they just brought back, didn't practice today. And thank goodness they were able to bring back Sammy Watkins. Now I'm a big fan of Sammy Watkins, and if for some reason he's still out there on your wire, which he was a couple weeks ago. But remember, we've talked about this in the past. If you're not 2 weeks ahead, you're a week behind. You got to be looking ahead at these situations. And when Sammy Watkins was eligible to come off IR, he was already rostered in a lot of leagues. So you have to think ahead. But, you know, double check, make sure he's available. But he's going to pretty much be their wide receiver. He's pretty much going to be the guy they're going to throw the ball to. So I got Sammy Watkins as a low-end wide receiver, too, this week. But Tyrod Taylor has been turning it on lately. He's a low-end quarterback, 1 this week against Oakland. And LeSean McCoy, he's been dinged up. He's had problems. He's missed time. But he's strong. I mean, this is a guy who 2 weeks ago had surgery, and 7 days later, he had surgery on his left thumb. And then 6.5 days later, he's out there playing, starting in an NFL game. This is just phenomenal. So this is a guy who definitely gets it. This is a guy who's physically and mentally capable of getting it done. On the other side of the ball, though, this should be all Oakland's game, if you ask me. There should be a ton of points scored by Oakland. Carr is going to be in, you know, a quarterback one this week. Latavius Murray is a running back one this week. Amari Cooper's a wide receiver one this week. And Crabtree is just short of wide receiver one. He's going to be wide receiver two this week. So while this should be all Oakland, it's going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's going to be interesting. Shout out to Mike and I, though. We said last week that the Oakland Raiders and the Carolina Panthers was going to be a really good fantasy game that was going to run this. It was going to just run the score up. And they did, 35-32. Raiders over the Panthers, they scored 67 points total. Thank you to my math teachers of elementary school for knowing that. But it was a good game. I mean, the Raiders can score this season. They really can. Derek Carr's coming into himself, and I like it very much. So the Oakland Raiders, Michael Crabtree, ankle listed as a limited participant in Wednesday's practice. So watch that. Ankle for Latavius Murray as well. So watch those two gentlemen for the Raiders. As far as the Bills go, as Mike said, there are injuries and there are concerns. It's a very long list. Foot injury, but he was back at Friday's practice. That is Sammy Watkins. He's questionable. Marquise Goodwin, wide receiver, he is questionable. Robert Woods didn't practice again Thursday. He is doubtful. Percy Harvin, who they brought back, and I mean, I'm happy that he got a job, and at the same time, since he came back, he hasn't played. Mike Gillisley, hamstring injury, he's questionable. So a lot to think about with Buffalo. I was at the game in Buffalo with the Jaguars against the Bills, and Sammy was quiet for a little while. And then all of a sudden, Tyrod goes to him. He catches the ball. He goes to him right after, catches that pass. Then he airs the ball downfield to him on one of the plays that was really amazing, one-on-one for Sammy. So I like Sammy Watkins in this game. I would consider LeSean McCoy in this game. And, yeah, I mean, I think those are my two. I think really that's where I stand with that. As far as the Oakland Raiders go, I like Derek Carr. I like the fact that Derek Carr is going to be playing at home in this game, so that's good for him. You got a Buffalo team coming all the way to the West Coast, so I like Derek Carr. Latavius Murray, if he's healthy and good to go. Michael Crabtree, if he's healthy and good to go. Clive Welford, I think he's not a bad tight end to put out there this year, or this game, I should say. And Amari Cooper should find his footing again, but he is a low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3 in my book. Giants at the Steelers, what do you have for this one?
Yeah, it's going to be all Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh has three of the most dominant players in fantasy football. Antonio Brown's hands down, if not the number one player in the league, he's definitely the number one wide receiver in the league. And the guy who could be the number two overall player or number three is Le'Veon Bell, the running back on the same team. And then this week I got the number four quarterback for the week in Ben Roethlisberger. So if you have three guys that are in the top three or four, you're going to win the game. That's just how it goes. It's almost like the NBA. If you have a handful of guys, you know, in those key positions, and everyone else is a complementary role player who, like Belichick says, does their job, this bodes well for you as the Steelers. And, you know, the Giants' defense has been suspect, especially in the secondary. They got some young players, and they're able to get some pressure on the ball. It's just they're not getting it done all the time. Pittsburgh is just stellar on offense. They have a dynamic offense. They can score on the ground. They can score in the air. On the other side of the ball, though, they do have a one shining spot there in ODB, Odell Beckham. He's been pouring it on a little bit lately. He had a slow start this year, and he was dinged up a little bit as well. If you need an Eli, I got him as a number 18-ranked quarterback this week. And Jennings, he didn't really start turning it back on until he felt the heat from Paul Perkins behind him, but he's a low-end running back too this week.
Yeah, Shane Vereen is on injured reserve, just to make a note about some of these players. Orleans Darkwa is also there for the Giants, two guys that haven't really done much of anything with the team, with Rashad Jennings being there and Paul Perkins trying to push him. And then for the Steelers, Darius Heyward-Bey is questionable with a foot injury, likely to miss the game, and D'Angelo Williams did not practice as of midweek. So that's something to watch here. For the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game, they're playing at home. And, you know, I think the Giants can make things interesting because normally when it's a cakewalk, it's not. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Colts, who are not really that good of a team, they spanked them last week, 28-7. Ben Roethlisberger, I like him. I like Le'Veon Bell in this game. I like Antonio Brown. I like to consider Ladarius Green in this game and consider Eli Rogers. Ladarius as a tight end and Eli as a wide receiver three, a flex position type player for you. Outside of that, Eli Manning is a quarterback two for me this week. He's worth considering. Odell Beckham Jr. is somebody to look at as well and potentially will tie if you need another tight end. But I do think that the majority of this is going to be Pittsburgh, and I think that Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Big Ben, the big three, are going to have a good day for the Steelers at home. Redskins at Cardinals, what do you have for this one?
Well, this is one guy who's going to break up that Pittsburgh three, and that's David Johnson. And when you talk about the Arizona Cardinals, you got to talk about David Johnson. He's almost the number one player in the league. He's definitely in the top three. This guy can run the ball, catch the ball. If you're lucky enough to have drafted him, he's definitely the guy you want to start week in, week out. Larry Fitzgerald is a low-end wide receiver three, but he's pretty much their primary target. The other wide receivers have fallen off either due to injury. J.J. Nelson looked like he was going to be a spark for a little bit, but you know it just didn't develop. Carson Palmer's a low-end wide receiver one this week. I got Kirk Cousins on the other side, about the same level as Carson Palmer, and Kirk Cousins is the 11th overall quarterback this week. Rob Kelly, and as they used to call him at Tulane, Fat Rob, he's a low-end running back two this week, but he's been doing a great job since taking over for Matt Jones, who couldn't seem to get it going with injury and with fumbles primarily. They're going to have to throw the ball, and that's going to be Jamison Crowder or DeSean Jackson. Jamison Crowder seems to be a solid play this week as a wide receiver three, or as we talked about before, a desperate flex. Jordan Reed, I'm not sure what his situation is going to be. He's been dinged up on and off. It doesn't look like he's going to make the field this week. He'd obviously be somebody we would talk about in the Washington offense. He's a primary player there.
Yeah, you know, when I look at this game for Washington, Chris Thompson, who obviously Robert Kelly has taken that job, but Chris Thompson limited in Thursday's practice. Jordan Reed's shoulder did not practice Thursday, so he is questionable. You got to watch Jordan Reed on that one. Vernon Davis, you know, obviously another opportunity there for you if need be for the Washington Redskins in this game on the road against the Cardinals. And to quickly look at the Cardinals here and see what they have. John Brown, illness, limited in Thursday's practice. And Michael Floyd's hamstring, limited in Wednesday's practice. So just make sure you look at both of those, or look at all those players before we jump into this week. And you can check that out by call DT.com, go to the fantasy football tab and click on Dr. Tim Whiting's injury report, and that will have all the updated injuries to help you out. And if you have any questions, you can obviously message the show at Call DT on Twitter, CALLDT, and you can also get in touch with me on Facebook.com/WakeUpCallDT. So make sure that you do that. Arizona Cardinals and the Redskins. I like a lot of the Cardinals in this one. Redskins don't have a bad offense. You know, I'm not completely away from Kirk Cousins in this game. He is playing Arizona, but, you know, Kirk Cousins, he's a quarterback two to me, potential low quarterback one. I like Robert Kelly in this game. I would consider, if Jordan Reed's good to go, I look to Jordan Reed. I like Jamison Crowder as a flex because he is a true flex. And if Jordan Reed is not good to go, then consider Vernon Davis. As far as the Cardinals go, I like Carson Palmer. David Johnson is a gimme. Larry Fitzgerald, that's their big three. So I like the three of them for sure. And those are the ones I feel comfortable telling you for Arizona. And if you have any questions outside of that for Arizona, I mean, Jermaine Gresham is not consistent. Michael Floyd depends on how well he is to go. J.J. Nelson isn't consistent. John Brown has been going through, you know, his time on the injury report. So really, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald are the two guys. I'm not completely out of Michael Floyd as far as putting him out there for you, but it's his health and it's also his consistency that makes me say David Johnson, Fitz, and Palmer. And on the other side, Robert Kelly, Jordan Reed, if he's good to go. If not, Vernon Davis, Jamison Crowder. And I like Kirk Cousins. I do. I do think that he does enough to argue putting him in there at times. Buccaneers at the Chargers, what do you have for this one?
This is going to be a closer game than people think. You know, those who, you know, the odds for entertainment purposes only, of course. San Diego's favored by 4 in this game, but the Bucks are 4-1 on the road. So this could be a very interesting game, and they have two of the most dynamic players in the NFL, and one being Mike Evans, who's the leader in targets in the NFL. He's pretty much their wide receiver, and if you get the most targets and you're able to catch the ball, it's pretty much just math at a certain point. So he's the number 3 overall wide receiver this week. Jameis Winston, a high-end quarterback, 2 this week. Doug Martin, a low-end running back, 2 this week. And Cameron Brate, a tight end, 1, especially. I doubt he's out there, but he might be. You might have a look, see if he's out there, you know, in case you had a Gronk or somebody who's hurt this week. On the other side of the ball, Melvin Gordon's just been a beast. He's the number 2 running back overall this week. Tyler Williams has been turning it on lately since he's been back. He's a low-end wide receiver, 2 this week. And Phillip Rivers and Jameis Winston are about on the same level this week. They're quarterback 2s, high-end quarterback 2s.
Yeah, you know, I think...
I'm sorry, I don't want to leave off Gates now. Antonio Gates, I'm sorry, I missed Antonio Gates. Antonio Gates is an elite tight end.
No, you definitely got to put Antonio in there, where give credit where credit is due, and he has been able to stay relatively healthy this year as of late. Terrell Williams, wide receiver, shoulder, was absent for practice on Thursday for the Chargers. Only injury to note at the moment. And outside of that, really nothing to say for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are coming off of a 14-5 victory over the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks are 7-3-1. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-5. So shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the work that they are doing. Jameis Winston, I like him in this game. I really do. I would consider Doug Martin, which, you know, just like Colin Kaepernick, Lord be with me, I never say to play Doug Martin, but he's worth considering in this game. Mike Evans and Cameron Brate, I'm sold on both of those guys. I don't know why I feel like Russell Shepard's going to get a touchdown in this game, but if you got to go deep and you need somebody, there's an injury, you got to get a flex, you got to throw somebody in last minute, Russell Shepard, not a bad thought. And as far as San Diego goes, I like Phillip Rivers in the game, I like Melvin Gordon. And Hunter Henry / Antonio Gates is an opportunity for you, but I am a Hunter Henry fan, and Hunter Henry is the one that I chose to be on my team, so I do tend to side with him. Sunday Night Football, Panthers at Seahawks. What do you have for this one?
Yeah, I definitely like the Seahawks, especially coming back from that road loss to Tampa. But Russell Wilson is the number 3 quarterback this week. Thomas Rawls is a low-end running back 2 this week, and Doug Baldwin is arguably a low-end wide receiver 1, and they have been making an effort to get the ball to Jimmy Graham, and I got him as the number 1 tight end overall. Beginning of the year, I didn't feel that way about Jimmy Graham based on his performance last year in Seattle, but this is a guy who's really turned it on as the year has gone. He's gone faster, played harder, and scored more points as the weeks have gone by, so he's the number 1 tight end this week. On the other side of the ball, Cam Newton is a mid-range quarterback 1. Jonathan Stewart, a low-end running back 2, high-end running back 3 or flex. And Kelvin Benjamin, I got him as the 26th-ranked wide receiver this week. And you can't deny Greg Olsen, the leader in receptions for the past several years for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, you know, when you look at this game, I mean, these are two teams that are coming off of a loss, Seattle and Carolina. And these are two teams that went up against each other last year, remember, in the playoffs. So it's kind of shocking where they sit right now. Now, Seattle's not out of it. They're 7-3-1. But, you know, they've had themselves a little bit of a rough go at it offensively, which is what they tend to do at times. But they're playing Carolina. And, you know, this is a perfect opportunity. Seattle, you're at home. You got the 12th man. And Carolina doesn't play any defense. So Russell Wilson, I like him in this one. Thomas Rawls, I'd throw him out there. Jimmy Graham, I give him an opportunity. Doug Baldwin, I give him an opportunity as well. And then on the other side for the Carolina Panthers, Cam Newton, it's hard for me to go against him. He's my lower end quarterback 1, dare I say, but I consider him. I would also look at potentially Jonathan Stewart as a running back 2 or a 3 for you. Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen, I like these guys. And Ted Ginn Jr., I think he might make things interesting. He's a good flex to consider out there as well. Monday Night Football, I just hope it's not boring. Colts at the Jets, Monday night. What do you have for this one, Mike?
Well, the one good thing is both teams are relatively weak in certain areas on their defense, which can expose themselves to giving up long touchdowns or big plays or even a dink and dunk down the field. Now, the Colts are favored in this one, and they should win this one, especially with Darrelle Revis claiming that he's going to retire soon. And now, some are questioning is, will the play even now, you know, partially through the season, most of the way through the season. But fantasy-wise, you know, Andrew Luck is going to be a number one quarterback this week. He's a number five overall on my board. Frank Gore should be a running back two this week, ranked number 18 overall on my board. T.Y. Hilton, wide receiver one. And going on the other side, you know, and you got to include Dante Moncrief in that conversation too. He should be a wide receiver two on your team this week. On the other side of the ball, Fitzpatrick, there's not a lot to say there. He just hasn't been very good. But Matt Forte has been their one bright shining star. Matt Forte, and even Bilal Powell might be a good flex play if you need something in desperation. And Brandon Marshall's a wide receiver one this week as well. You can't argue with what he's done year in, year out. He's pretty much consistent.
Yeah, this is an interesting go at it, but let me go down the injury report. Brandon Marshall, knee, foot, did not practice on Thursday at wide receiver for the Jets, so just watch that. Jalen Marshall did not practice Thursday either as a wide receiver for the Jets. Outside of that, not too much to say for the New York Jets injury-wise, which is a good thing. As far as the Indianapolis Colts go, take a quick look here. T.Y. Hilton back, did not practice on Thursday at wide receiver. Concussion and shoulder has Andrew Luck at quarterback limited at practice on Thursday. So that's how these two teams look going into it. I don't like the passing. Even if Andrew Luck's out there, he's probably not going to be 100%. I would consider Frank Gore as a two or a three. I would look at T.Y. Hilton if he's healthy. And Dante Moncrief, I do like him. You know, Dante's been able to score. He's been able to get in, and he's done it with different quarterbacks. So he's worth considering at a wide receiver position. Ryan Fitzpatrick in this game, I would consider him. This is if you have injuries. This is if you have guys that are out and you need some help. Quincy Enunwa, I do like him. Brandon Marshall, if he's healthy enough to go. And Matt Forte, he's playing the Colts, so throw him out there. That's how I kind of look at this game as we move forward here. That is week 13 of Fantasy Football Friday. Your fantasy football advice coming live to you every Friday from 11 a.m. to noon Eastern time inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Satora, brought to you by Saltine Warrior Sports Pub. And you can utilize this. I take it out and make it its own show on the app and on the website so you can listen straight to fantasy football all the way through from today, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You're good to go. Daily Fantasy, Fantasy Leagues, we are here for you. Saltine Warrior Sports Pub, 214 West Water Street in Syracuse, New York. Get your free hot chocolate, go ice skating, and have yourself a good time. I'll be heading down to Florida, and I'll be seeing this guy, Mr. Mike Sofka, Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. A phenomenal, phenomenal host that I feel very happy to have with me every single week. Mike, you know that I've loved your support for years, and you know that I consider you part of, you know, the family of what I do and my Florida family. So I thank you so much for being a big part of the show, and I thank you for being so positive and so supportive over the years.
Well, I appreciate it. I enjoy it, and, you know, we're going to keep this thing rolling. Let's go, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, sounds good. Hall of Fame FantasyFootball.com. Check out Mike Sofka. Mike, I'll see you very soon.
All right, sounds good.
Take care.